morning, church. It is my honor today to continue our legacy series, but it's not just our legacy series, it's also our Names of God series. So we actually are continuing with this series. If you're new with us, you might be wondering what's that all about. Well, over the last few weeks, and this will continue for quite a while, we are looking at the different names of God in the Bible and unpacking what they mean. And today I got given the name El Shaddai to speak on. And as I was looking through the Bible, I was looking for verses that refer to God as El Shaddai. And I came across this verse, which I thought was super interesting. It's Job 21, 15, and it says this. It says, "What is Shaddai that we should serve him?" And I was like, exactly. That's what I need to know as I prepare for this message this morning. It was like the writer of Job was actually reading my mind, because I'm like, that's exactly what I want to know. I want to know, what is Shaddai? Who is Shaddai that we should serve him? And in a different version, it says it like this, which gives us a little hint as to what we might mean by Shaddai. It says, "Who is the Almighty that we should serve him?" And basically, I was thinking, well, the writer's basically saying, who is God? Who is Shaddai? Who is God? And is he even worth following? That's kind of the question that I was wondering. And I guess you might be sitting here today, and maybe you've actually been wondering that, and maybe you've been wondering it for a long time. Who is this God? Who is this God that I've heard about? Who is this God, and is he worth following? And I guess I want us to jump in to the scriptures today, and I want us to try and answer that question together, really. I want us to answer that question of who is Shaddai that we should serve him. But I want us to remember that this name series, the reason why this isn't just a one-off message, but it's actually a series, is because there are so many names of God throughout the Bible. And as we unpack them, as we look into them each week, we're actually discovering, I guess, a different characteristic or a different perspective of God. That means that if we actually are here every week, which I encourage you to be, if we're here every week listening to all the different names of God unpacked, it actually means we're going to have a fuller, more complete understanding of who our God is. And so I'd encourage you, if you're not with us or you do miss a week, jump on the podcast, catch up, so that you get that full view of who our God is. But today I'm just going to be focusing on El Shaddai. And the name El Shaddai appears actually only a handful of times in the Bible. You see the word Shaddai appear quite a few more times, but in terms of the name of God, El Shaddai, it actually only appears a few times. And they're pretty much all in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. They're pretty much all in Genesis, and they are all times when God is actually interacting with what we call the patriarchs of the faith, right, which is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Shaddai, as I said earlier, it's commonly translated as Almighty. So in your Bible, when you see God Almighty, there's a good chance that in the Hebrew it was El Shaddai. And the past few weeks, I've been reading these stories, looking at where does God refer to himself as El Shaddai. I've been reading these stories, these accounts in Genesis of where God, El Shaddai, is talking to the patriarchs, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what I want to do today is just share some of that with you, okay? I just want to share some of what I've observed as I've read these stories. I've encountered a few similarities in these stories that I want to share with you. And I've picked out just a couple that we're going to take a closer look at today. Can't do all of them, so I've picked out just a couple. And what's interesting is the first time that we see this name of God, El Shaddai, the first time we see that God refer to himself as El Shaddai, is actually in Genesis 17. And a quick recap is at this point in time, Abraham is 99 years old. And he and his wife Sarah, and she's 90, they haven't been able to have children together, right? But years earlier, God's given Abraham a promise that he would make him into a great nation, that he would bless him, that he would make his name great, and that he promised him that all people on earth would be blessed through him, all right? He actually promised him, basically he promised him blessing, descendants, and land. And so this is where we get to in Genesis 17. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty," or "I am El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between you and you will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." So this is El Shaddai speaking, right? This is El Shaddai speaking to Abraham, and he's confirming the promises that he's made to Abraham. And then God goes on in this passage to tell him that his wife Sarah will bear a son. And through this son, God will establish an everlasting covenant with his people. Now, what you've got to understand is that right here, right in this moment, we have come into miracle territory, okay? Because this is a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman, and they're being given the promise from God, from El Shaddai, that you are going to conceive a child. This is miracle territory, right? In the natural, this can't happen. But El Shaddai is saying to him, it's kind of like he's saying, get ready for the miracle that is coming your way. I've promised this. I'm a God of my promise. This will happen. Get ready for the miracle. And he's saying, I'm going to greatly increase your numbers, right? You're not just going to have son. It's not just going to be any old son. I'm going to greatly increase your numbers. You're going to be father of many nations. I'm going to make you very fruitful. I will make nations out of you, and kings will come from you. Well, guess what? It happens, right? The miracle happens. The baby arrives, and we actually see throughout the history of the Bible that El Shaddai actually proves himself in all these promises and blessings. El Shaddai proves himself as God Almighty, right? But now I want to jump to Genesis 35, right? And this is where we hear about El Shaddai again. And this time it's not Abraham that God's talking to. It's actually his grandson, Jacob. And it says this in verse 9. It says, "After Jacob returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, 'Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel.' So he named him Israel. And God said to him, 'I am God Almighty,'" or "I am El Shaddai. 'Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you.'" So here we come in contact again with the El Shaddai blessing, right? Here is El Shaddai blessing again. He's saying, "I'm going to greatly increase your numbers. I'm going to make you very fruitful. Many nations will come from you. Kings will come from you." So again, he's saying there's going to be blessing. There's going to be descendants. There's going to be land that I'm going to give you. And as I was reading these encounters, right, these encounters between the patriarchs and El Shaddai, and I just read a couple this morning, there's actually a few more. But as I was reading them all, I noticed two things. And the first that I noticed, and you might have noticed it too, was the use of words like blessing, increase, multiply, fruitful, right? In all these situations, El Shaddai, God Almighty, is shown to be a powerful God who can bestow blessings on his people, right? He can make them fruitful. He can give them increase. He can give them blessings. He can give them land, influence. He can multiply. So I feel like we're kind of starting to get an answer to our question, who is Shaddai? Is he worth following? It's sure starting to sound like it, right? Because if you like the sound of blessings, fruitfulness, increase, multiplication, if you like the sound of that, well, he's capable of it, right? If he's capable of that, what can't he do? Pretty much there's nothing he can't do, right? And I've got to admit, I especially love the reference to the blessing of land, all right? Because as just talked about before, we as a church, we want land, right? We want a building. We want to own our own home. So I'm definitely intrigued at this point because I'm thinking, well, if there's a way to get some land blessing action, I want it, okay? So it's got me intrigued. I want to keep reading. And the thing is, right, that type of God is the type of God that I think most people want to follow, right? If you say, who is Shaddai, is he worth following? Most people want to follow a God who just hands out blessings, right? right? If I was to end today's preach, if I said, right, I'm done, we've finished the preach for today, I'm just going to tell you about a God, he bestows blessings on his people. Well, I reckon the whole of the Redlands would get saved right now, because that sounds like a pretty good God to follow. Who wouldn't want to follow a God that's just going to, you know, give you every blessing you could ever imagine? Everyone wants that God that's like a genie in a bottle that'll just do whatever they ask. But that's not the end of the preach. Sorry, guys. It's not the end of the preach, so we're going to keep going. That's the first thing I noticed, right, about these passages. But there's a second thing I noticed about these stories. And this is the part that I think causes some people to kind of tap out, right? This is the part where some people start to question, well, is he worth following? Because, yes, these stories show us the miraculous things God can do. Right? They show us the miraculous things he can do. It shows us the power he has. And it shows us a God who has the desire to bless his people. And not just a desire to bless his people, but actually a God who has the ability to bless his people. Right? It shows us that he is God Almighty. He is the one that has the ability to bless you, multiply you, make you fruitful, make your name great, bless the world through you. That's what he was promising Abraham. Right? And that's exactly what occurred. And I think sometimes that's the picture of God we have in our head. That's how we picture him. We just kind of picture ourselves standing there with our arms out, ready just to receive all God has for us. It's like we just want him to drop it in our lap. It's like, I'm here, I'm ready, just drop the blessings on me, God. That's sometimes our stance. And I want to assure you that our God, our El Shaddai, our God Almighty, he does have blessings to throw you away. Right? He does. He's a good God and he has good gifts for you. Maybe they won't be quite the same as the ones he gave Abraham, but he has blessings with your name on it. You better believe that, all right? Because I do. But, and you've heard this preached from us many times if you've been with us a while we believe all that, right? We believe that he can give us the blessings, the miraculous, the provision, the increase, the multiplication, the fruit. We believe that. But we also believe that it doesn't come without some cooperation from you and I, right? We believe that it actually requires something of us, that we have to play our part in the story. And that's why I want to look at each of these stories again that we just read. I want us to look a little bit deeper into them, because in Genesis 17, if we go back there, God confirms his promises to Abraham. But I want us to look at the verse again, because there are actually some conditions on it. So if we look again, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between you and me, and you will greatly increase your numbers. So here it says, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless, and then I'll bless you. And he actually goes on to tell Abraham that in order for this covenant to be established, that every male must be circumcised. And God goes on to promise Abraham that his wife Sarah will fall pregnant. And at this point, Abraham does not believe that could be possible. I mean, of course, who would believe it? He's 99 years old. His wife's 90. Of course, he would not believe that that can happen. But God says it'll happen. El Shaddai says it'll happen. And he says that he'll bless her and she's going to be the mother of nations. So what does Abraham do at this point? Because he's got to be in disbelief, right? He's got to be in disbelief thinking this is not possible. This is actually impossible. He'd be struggling to comprehend how this could possibly take place. It makes no sense. But the Bible tells us, it says that on that very day, right? On that very day, that means without hesitation. That means straight away, this is what Abraham did. He and all the men in his household were circumcised. It actually says that they were circumcised as God told him. Right? So he obeyed instantly. Even in his sense of, I don't understand this. I can't see how this is possible. I have no idea how God could do this. This couldn't possibly be true. It doesn't make sense. But because God said it, I'll do it. So we went and did it. And in fact, Genesis 26 that we're going to flick to, it summed it up like this. And I want you to catch this because this is beautiful. This is actually an encounter between Abraham's son Isaac and God. It says this. Now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands. And I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Why will they be blessed? The next verse tells us, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and he kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes and my laws." Why were they blessed? Why are they going to be blessed? Because Abraham obeyed God's voice, obeyed El Shaddai's voice, and he kept his charge, his commandments, his statutes and his laws. You know, and this is beautiful, particularly if you remember back to Az's message 2 weeks ago when he talked about Jehovah Jireh. And if you haven't heard that message, can I encourage you to jump on the podcast? It was a brilliant message. And we learned just how far Abraham was willing to go when it came to listening to God's voice and obeying his voice to the point of sacrificing his son. So we know that Abraham took the commands of God seriously and he obeyed God. Now let's jump down to Genesis 35 again, because when we read it before, we saw God blessing Jacob, right? But I think it's important that we look at what actually happened prior to this blessing. It says this, it says, "Then God said to Jacob, 'Go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau.' So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, 'Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel where I will build an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone.' So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out and the terror of God fell on the towns all around them so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Bethel in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother." Then we get to the verses we read before, where El Shaddai appears to Jacob and blesses him and says, "Be fruitful, increase in number, etc., etc., all of that. And then it says, "Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it." So again, when it comes to Jacob and his encounter with El Shaddai, we see obedience. We see him doing exactly what God commanded. They got rid of all the foreign gods. They got rid of the idols. They purified themselves. They built an altar to God, and they poured out their offerings to God on the altar. They obeyed, right? They obeyed. They did what God told them. They brought their offerings. They brought their sacrifices to God. And then the blessing came to Jacob. And I've been reflecting on these stories because I've realized that the blessing actually never comes without the obedience. It's the obedience that often requires sacrifice that actually opens the door for the blessing to come. See, the blessings he poured out for Abraham and for Isaac and for Jacob, he says, "I'm going to give you land, I'm going to give you descendants, I'm going to give you blessing." And we'd love some of that too, right? Who wouldn't love some of that? I'd love some of that. We'd love some blessing. I'm sure we'd all say, we'd love blessing. We'd love some miraculous provision in our lives. Who wouldn't? You'd be crazy not to want some miraculous provision in your life. And I know as a church, that's what we want. I'm not ashamed to say that. We want God to show up in miraculous ways. We want him to provide miraculously in this place. In our legacy series right now, we are believing for God to do the miraculous. We're believing for him to provide in miraculous ways. We're believing for him to bring the increase, to bring the fruit, to bring the blessing, the multiplication, right? These are the words that we see over and over through the pages of Genesis, particularly as we're hearing about El Shaddai. And here's the thing, there's no doubt that our God, our El Shaddai, he is the Almighty. He can supply all our needs. He is all sufficient. He can supply all of our needs. No doubt about it. But I think often we want God to do the miracle without playing our part. We want the miracle without the obedience. We want the provision without the sacrifice. We want the miraculous without the faithfulness, right? Without following his commands. We just want all the good stuff without playing our part. But then I began thinking about the New Testament, right? Because those stories I shared, that was Old Testament. So then I started thinking about the New Testament. I started thinking about Jesus and his time here on earth. And I began looking at the times when Jesus blessed people, because that's what he did, right? He walked the earth and he constantly blessed people. But in particular, I wanted to look at the times when he miraculously provided for people, because I think that's what we're talking about today. So we're going to look at some of the miracles of Jesus. As I said, in particular, the ones where he provides for people. And we're going to see that people play a part in this story. They don't just stand there and have the miracle dropped in their laps like we might hope that God would do. You know, I love that last week, if you're with us, when Ash Gulo was with us, he reminded us that in Psalm 1, that it promises that what we do will prosper. I loved it when he said that, that it's not just what we think about or hope for. It's like, no, what we do will prosper. And I think that's what we'll see in these miracles, that it's what we do and what they did that prospered. So let's look at the first one, turning water into wine, right? Who doesn't love this miracle? So if you don't know this story, there's a wedding taking place and they run out of wine, which was pretty much a scandal. And Jesus' mum says, come on, Jesus, you need to fix this. You need to provide more wine. And he at the beginning, he says, no, you know, it's not yet my time, mother. But then she turns to the servants, because she knows he can do it. She turns to the servants and she says this. She says, do what he tells you. Right? She says, do what he tells you. So they do what he tells them. They obey. They do what he tells them. They follow his instructions. And I think it's interesting to note that the wine doesn't just appear out of nowhere. Sometimes we can think of this miracle and think, oh, and then there was just wine. No, that's not actually what happened. He tells them, Jesus tells the servants, go get the jars, fill them with water. So go get your jars, fill them with your water. And then he turns the water that they've brought into wine, right? They obeyed his commands. They obeyed his instructions. They did exactly what he told them to do. They brought their jars, they brought their water, and then the miraculous, the blessing, the provision. Let's look at another one. If you're not convinced yet, let's look at another one, right? Simon the fisherman. He and the other fishermen, they have been hard at work out in their boats all day. All day, and they haven't caught a thing. It's not a single fish, right? They're in need. They need provision. They're lacking in that moment. And Jesus issues an instruction to Simon. He says, put out into deep water and let down your nets. Now, Simon at this point has got to be thinking that this is a ridiculous request, because he knows there's no fish out there. He's been out there all day, all night. He's saying there's no fish. He's got to think this guy is crazy. It kind of reminds me of the Abraham moment, right? When God's saying, you're going to have a baby. And he's thinking, this is crazy. It's impossible. This isn't actually possible. This isn't going to happen, right? Abraham knows, my wife can't fall pregnant at 90 years of age. Same way Simon's going, there's no fish out there. It's ridiculous, right? Waste of time. But he does what Jesus tells him to do. In fact, the Bible says that he actually says, there's nothing out there, Lord, but because you say so, I'll put the boat out and put the nets down, right? He says, because you say so, Jesus, I'll do it. So he brings his boat, he brings his nets, and he brings his tired body. He's got to be tired and worn out at this point. But he obeys Jesus' instructions, puts down the nets, and then the miraculous, the blessing, the provision comes, right? Now I want to look at another one in a bit more detail. I want to look at the feeding of the 5,000, which many of you know this story, but we're going to read this one just quickly in Matthew 14. There's a couple of versions of this in the Bible. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from many towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. But Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Right? So in this story, there's a problem, right? There's a lack, there's a need. They don't have enough. The disciples are looking at what they've got in front of them and the task in front of them, and it just seems impossible. Jesus tells the disciples to feed the people. But they're saying to Jesus, but this is all we have. Like, in front of us, this is all we have. But Jesus issues an instruction, and they follow the instruction. But see, at this point, they could have not listened. They could have talked among themselves and decided he's crazy, like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Let's just dismiss the people. This is going to be embarrassing if we try to feed the people and all we've got is this, you know, 5 little loaves and 2 fish. This is embarrassing. Like, let's just dismiss. Let's ignore what he's saying. Let's just dismiss the people. Let them go get food. Right? Again, another moment of Abraham hearing that his wife's going to have a baby. Simon hearing that there's no fish, but I'm telling you, put down your nets and there'll be fish. It's these moments of, it's crazy. It's stupid. This is a waste of time. Why would we do that? It's not possible. But in that story, we hear that they didn't do that. The disciples said, all right, we'll do what he says. And they did what he said. They gathered the people into groups. They had them sit. They gave Jesus the small amount they had. And then he blessed it. He increased it. He made it fruitful. He multiplied it. See, they obeyed. They simply obeyed. They just brought what they had, the teeny tiny amount they had. And then God did the miraculous, the blessing, the provision. And as I read this story for the 1,000th time, you might be like me and you've read this story thousands of times. But at this time as I read it, I was thinking, how often do we expect God to do the whole miracle? How often do we just stand there with arms out, ready to receive? God, just drop it in my lap. I just want it. Just give it to me. Thank you. Like, I'm just ready for it right now. Just drop it. See, we want his provision and we want his blessing and we want his miracles. We want his promise of multiplication, right? We've seen in these stories, he is the God of multiplication. He can do it. And I don't think there's anything actually wrong with wanting his blessing and wanting his provision and wanting his miracles, because we've seen that he's willing to give those out. So there's nothing wrong with that. But here's the thing. In order to multiply, we need to give him something to multiply. So my question to you this morning is, what are you giving him to multiply? Is anyone here good at maths? No one. That's a concern. Oh, one. Great. No one's good at maths. Musical and good at maths. Well, right. Well, I'm not that great at maths either, but I do know this, okay? Well, see if you know it too. When you multiply any number with zero, what do you get? Okay, you're all better at maths than you claim to be. Yes, right? You multiply any number with zero and you get zero. So let's think of it like this. Bring zero. Watch it multiply to zero. Or bring something, literally anything, big or small. Bring something, bring anything, and watch him multiply it. See, all these miracles of Jesus, they show a step of obedience. We don't just see the miracle, we see a step of obedience. We see a step of faith. And God asks the same of you and I. See, he wants us, just like the people in these stories, he wants us to listen to him. He wants us to listen to him. He wants us to obey him. He wants us to bring what we have as an offering to him and then leave the rest to him. Let him bless it. Let him multiply it. Let him do the miraculous with it like only he can. That part's not for you to worry about. See, we've seen all throughout the Bible that our God Almighty, our El Shaddai, he can do the miraculous. He can do it, right? We've seen that he can bless you beyond your wildest dreams. He did it for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why can't he do it for you? He can bless you beyond your wildest dreams. But here's the question. Can he do it without your obedience and without your sacrifice? Well, yeah. Actually, he can. He's God. But the question is, will he do it without your obedience and your sacrifice? Because time after time after time in the Bible, We see the blessings come, right? We see the miraculous come. We see the multiplication come after we see the obedience and the sacrifice of God's people. See, I love it in the feeding of the 5,000 encounter. I love the part where the disciples tell Jesus that the people are hungry, so he should send them away to get food, right? They say that. And it's like God saying to them, it's like Jesus is saying, are you kidding me? These people are hungry for God. Like, these people are gathered here with me. They're spiritually hungry. They want more of God. And you're going to tell them to go away and get food? He's saying, no way. I'm not sending them away. Here they are in the palm of my hand learning from me. I'm teaching them. They're hungry for God. I'm giving them what they're searching for. He says, you've got physical food. You feed them. You solve the problem. And in your life, have you ever wondered how God's going to do it? When you've got problems or when you've got times when you need him to provide, have you ever wondered how he's going to do it? I wonder all the time. I wonder all the time. I ask him, God, how are you going to do it? I don't see how you're going to do it. How are you going to do it? But notice in this story, he doesn't tell the disciples how he's going to do it. He doesn't tell them how he's going to provide. He just says, you feed them with what you have. And I feel like that's really similar, actually, to what's happened to us recently as a church. Because if you're only new here, you don't know what's been going on. We were packing out this auditorium. And as an I and, you know, many of you, we're crying out to God saying, God, how are we going to do it? Like, the Redlands needs you. Like, we want to fit more people in here, but we've got no space. How are we going to do it? We need more seats. We need more space. We need more room. In fact, as, you know, as shared a couple of weeks ago, that he came in here and he said, God, how are we going to do it? And God just said to him, just use what you've got. And so we decided, well, we've been blessed with this building at the moment, so let's use it to full capacity. Let's see how we can fit more people into the same space. So we decided to knock out that back wall and extend it further. And here's the thing, we decided to do it in a quick fit, and a quick fit means quick, right? We decided to do it in a week. We wanted you to be back here on Sunday and have no idea that anything went on during the week, right? And if I'm honest, I would tell you that at the beginning of the week, I actually had no clue how we were going to get it done. It was actually a pretty impossible task. And, you know, I might have been there like, yeah, we can do it. Inside, I'm thinking, how are we going to do it? And I remember Johan, who was project managing it for us, saying to us, well, I need these people. Blah, blah. You know, he's listing off all these people he needs, and he's saying, like, are you going to have the people? And I was like, yeah, the people will come. Don't worry about it, Johan, the people will come. And we're saying to each other, are the people going to come? Like, I hope the people will come. I don't know. We're promising that the people will come. But here's what I love, right? We honestly had no clue how it would all happen. But what we did is we as a church, we just gathered together what we had. Right? We gathered together what we had. We gathered together the people we had, the time we had to spare, the tools we had, the skills we have. We just gathered together what we have. And then we watched God do the miraculous. Before our very eyes, God did a miracle. And can I encourage you, do not underestimate the miracle that took place here. Because we have had, even as and I, you know, since it happened, we've had people come up to us and say, I'm blown away. I don't understand. I was part of other churches, or I've been part of other building projects. And what you've done in a week, honestly, I've seen it take up to 9 months, and I've seen it blow way out of budget. How'd you do it? And we're like, it was the miraculous. We honestly just said to the church, church, let's listen to God. God's saying, use what's in your hand and let's make room for people. So we gathered together, just like in that story of the disciples with the feeding of the 5,000. It says, just bring what you have, gather together, disciples, gather together, bring what you have, and then I'll multiply it, I'll make miraculous provision for everyone through what you bring. And that's what happened at Quick Fit, honestly. As we just bring what we've got, and then let God do the rest. And he did it before our very eyes. See, I think the disciples overlooked their food, right? They just had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. They overlooked their food because it was so little compared to the huge need that was in front of them, right? Before them stands 5,000 plus people, hungry people, hangry people, right? And they've got this tiny portion of food, right? To them, it seemed impossible. And the truth is, it was impossible. For them, it was impossible to feed that crowd with this small little portion. And I think we often do the same. See, we look at what we have compared to the huge need in front of us, and it feels impossible. Some of you might be thinking that about our legacy campaign this year. You know, as said to you, the goal this year, $300,000. It's a big goal. It's a scary goal, even for us and I. It's a terrifying goal. And we can look at that huge goal in front of us, $300,000. And let's be honest, like $300,000 is only scratching the surface of what this church is going to need to actually secure our own home in the future, right? So the goal and the dream of owning our own land or building or whatever God provides, it's a huge dream. It's a huge need. It's a huge goal in front of us, right? And maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, the little portion that I've got compared to that, it's impossible. I mean, maybe there's some people out there and you're thinking, oh, $300,000, that's nothing. That's easy. Well, if that's you, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's awesome, right? But for the majority of us, what we have in our hand may seem tiny compared to that goal. But I believe El Shaddai says, just listen to me. Just listen to me. Hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm asking of you. And simply do that. Just obey me. Obey me on this. Hear what I'm asking of you and just bring it as an offering, as a sacrifice. See, church, I believe that if we do what he's asking, I believe if individually all of us just do what he's asking, then we can just watch him bless it, increase it, multiply it. Watch the fruit that will be produced from what we bring. I'm like, church, get ready. Get ready. Watch for the blessings that will get poured out over this church. Watch for the blessings that will get poured out over your lives if you choose to partake in this. Because here's the thing, right? I'm giving you full permission right here and right now. I'm giving you full permission to bring nothing. And guess what? It'll be multiplied. And you'll get nothing. Or you can bring something, anything, literally anything. You can bring something and watch El Shaddai do the miraculous with it. Yeah. Right? I'm going to say it again. You can bring nothing and it'll be multiplied and you'll get nothing. Simple maths equation. Bring nothing, it'll be multiplied, you'll get nothing. Or bring something and watch El Shaddai multiply it and do the miraculous. See, I only read you the first half of that Job verse earlier when I started the message. The first verse says this, who is the Almighty that we should serve him? The next verse says, what should we gain by praying to him? And you know, we had a circumstance this week that just completely answered this question. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? What should we gain by praying to him? You know, many of you might know, you may not know, that Az has a business that he runs as well as pastoring the church. And he's been running that for about 10 years. And honestly, over the last probably 18 months, we haven't really been focusing on it. We haven't been giving it the focus it deserves because he's been focused on church. And we've been saying, God, if you want us to wrap up the business, you just close the doors. Make it clear to us that you want us to close that up. And we will. But we've said, God, if you keep opening doors, we will keep walking through them. And but as I said, we haven't really been focusing on growing it because we've been focused elsewhere. And then this week, Az gets an email completely out of the blue from a girl who had actually seen his school's program years ago, I think maybe 4 years ago. And the program, she said, changed her life. Az doesn't know this girl, never even knew her story. Didn't even know that he'd impacted her. But she remembered that his program had changed her life and that she remembers thinking at the end of the day, every school student needs to hear this presentation. So 4 years later, she's now working for an organization that's looking for a program exactly like that. And she remembers this guy that spoke at her school 4 years ago. So they contact him and Az goes into a meeting this week, and as he goes into the meeting, as prayed, he didn't actually tell me he prayed this till after. But as prayed, remember we're saying, what would we gain by praying to him? Who is Shaddai? Why should we serve him? What would we gain by praying to him? Well, God prayed, as prayed to God before he went into this meeting, and he said, God, I'd love to see 10 times what we've sowed financially into the church this year. It's a big prayer. And see, that's the prayer part. See, what should we gain by praying to him? But it's not, he didn't just pray a prayer. See, because he's been obedient and sacrificed. He's done what God's asked of him. Every time God has asked him to give, he's given. We've put him first. I'm not ashamed to say that. We've put him first. And so as went into that meeting, and look, it's not all signed, sealed, delivered yet, so who knows what's going to happen. But the contract that they discussed with him was, you better believe it, 10 times what he'd sowed financially into this church. That's El Shaddai. That's God Almighty. That's nothing to do with as. That is El Shaddai. That is God Almighty. That's what happens when you put him first. That's what happens when you sacrifice, when you obey, when you hear his voice and you're obedient. See, bring him something and he will multiply it. It is a promise. I wanted to finish today by sharing another story with you. Some of you know this, some of you may not. You know, last year we did our big Christmas Carols event at Redlands College, and we've done that event for 2 years now. The first one that we did there, we did simply because it was COVID restrictions and we had a small auditorium, and we thought, unless we want to be doing like 5 Christmas services, we need a bigger space. So we took it over to Redlands College and did a big outdoor Christmas Carols event. But last year we felt God say, no, you're to keep this up. Don't bring it back in the walls of the church, because by taking it out, you've actually enabled more people to hear about Jesus. So we felt him tell us, keep it out there, keep it in the community. Allow the community to come and hear about Jesus. Because see, they can go to any old Carols event, but if they come to ours, they're going to hear about Jesus. And we wanted to bless people. That's our heart, but also that's the heart of God. And we knew that he was asking us to bless people through this event. And one of the ways we wanted to do that was we wanted to do free food and free drinks. But the reality is that costs, right? That actually costs. In fact, Christmas, it is a big expense for this church, but we believe it's what God's asking us to do, and we believe it's an outreach to the community, and we believe that it's a cost that's worth it because people are going to come to know Jesus through it. But we wanted to bless people, and one of the ways we wanted to do that was through ice creams. Everyone loves ice cream. So we wanted to do ice creams, but we didn't just want to do any old ice creams. Like, we could have gone down some really cheap roads, but we thought, no, we want to do good ice creams. Because you know when you get given something good, you truly feel blessed, don't you? And so we thought, yeah, we want to do magnums, we want to do drumsticks. We want to do good quality ice cream so that when people receive it, they're blown away by the generosity. And so we spoke to IGA, and they've been so wonderful to us, but in this particular circumstance, they said, sorry, we can't give you the ice creams for free. The best we can do is we can give them to you cost price, which is already extremely generous of them. So they said that to us. And so we ordered 1,000, thinking, that's a lot. That'll make sure everyone can have an ice cream. But then as it was getting closer and closer to the event, like, Reggio's were going up, 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 up. It's like word had spread from the year before that this is an event worth coming to. And so it's in the lead up, and we're seeing the registrations get to 800 and 900, and we're looking at each other, the team, and saying, are we going to be able to feed all these people? Because the last thing I wanted is for people to come to an event where they're supposed to be blessed, and then they get to the end of the line and, sorry, we're out of ice creams. That's not the sort of church we want to be. We wanted people to be blessed. And so it's getting up there, up there, up there with the registrations, and time's ticking. And as a team, we're looking at one another, and we were kind of joking at first, but then it actually turned into heartfelt prayers. At first we're saying, Lord, we need a loaves and fishes moment. We need our own loaves and fishes moment. We're joking about it. But then it became a sincere prayer of our hearts. Lord, we actually need a loaves and fishes moment, because we don't want anyone to miss out. We want to bless the Redlands community here. Well, we prayed for a loaves and fishes moment, and boy, did we get one. When we went to the kitchen after the event, I'm looking in the freezers and they're packed with ice creams. And I'm thinking, did no one want the ice creams? Like, I was a bit sad. Did no one want the ice creams? Everyone said to me, no, they loved them. I had one. Someone's telling me, oh, yeah, I had two. Someone's telling me I had three. And I'm thinking, well, we only had enough, like just enough for everyone to have one each. And yet people are telling me I had two, I had three. Yeah, I gave some away to this person. And I'm looking in the freezers and there's literally like hundreds, if not thousands of ice creams. And I'm talking, we had magnums, we had drumsticks. For the kids, we'd got rainbow paddle pops. We'd had icy poles for some of the kids. Like, but what you've got to understand is like, I know we said we're not good at maths, right? And so I'm looking at it and I'm going, we ordered 160 icy poles. So how do we still have like 500 icy poles in the freezer? I don't get it. And then we're searching through it and we're finding ice creams we didn't even order. I'm like, what's this raspberry one? We never ordered raspberry ones. Can I tell you, like, I actually can't even express how many ice creams we had. Like, we had to move them back to the church, but we didn't have enough freezer space. We had two chest freezers up there filled to the brim with ice creams. We had three fridge freezers filled and they're still full. I'm saying to people, take a box home, take a box home. We need them to go somewhere. Like, someone take some ice creams. They were everywhere. And then we thought, okay, great. We've got so many ice creams. Next weekend at church, when we do our Christmas night services, we'll hand them out again. So we handed them out again, ice creams for everyone. And still our freezers were full. And I'm saying to the youth directors, give them out at youth, please, every week. I'm saying to the kids directors, hand them out at kids, please. Get rid of these ice creams. I remember, like, I kept, anytime someone did something good, I was like, have a drumstick. To the point where they were like, I don't want to see a drumstick ever again in my life. I've had so many drumsticks. Like, we had ice creams coming out of our ears. Honestly, they were everywhere. And we couldn't believe it because we're like, well, we were trying to bless others and somehow we just got miraculously blessed with overflowing ice creams. And here's what I want to tell you this morning, that our God, our El Shaddai, He is God Almighty. He can do the miraculous. And what El Shaddai wants to say to you today is Merry Christmas. We still have ice blocks and you're getting some today. So Merry Christmas.
We literally have these ice blocks coming through. You don't understand. The church has had my chest freezer from my house here holding those. I need my freezer back. And I'm not joking. Can we just give it up for Beck really quickly? But I want to give you more context of this ice block thing. I ordered them. With Kate Davids, we put the order in. We gave stickers out to every person at the carols because we were stressed that they would have to give their sticker in to get an ice cream, right? And all the stickers went. So that means 1,000 stickers went. And then everyone was lining up for seconds and thirds. We had friends from the Gold Coast come and visit for that Christmas carols event. And literally this guy goes, dude, I've had 3 magnums. He goes, I'm on my 6th sausage. It wasn't just the ice creams, guys. We literally ordered 1,000 sausages for a sausage sizzle. And people were having 6 or 7. People were having so many sausages. And at the end of the night, we had a box of sausages. That was huge. We're like, how? We checked our invoice. And you know what I thought? I thought, you know what? IGA has stuffed up and we owe them money, right? So we actually called them to say, hey, thanks so much for all the extra ice creams. They were like, what are you talking about? We're like, nothing. The reason we wanted to hand these out today is, well, it was funny because we went up to the... Beck last night was telling me about this. She goes, I'm going to talk about the ice creams. I said, we've still got a chest freezer full. She goes, no, I think they're gone. I said, no. 8 p.m. last night, we drove down here. I said, see, they're still there. She goes, but is there enough? I said, they're in the other freezers as well. This morning, she's counting. She said, we've got to count them all up for everyone to come to church. She does a number count. She goes, I don't know if there's enough for everyone. I said, there's enough for everyone. That's what God does. You know what I love is when Abraham actually gets told by God that Sarah, his wife's going to have a baby at the age of 90. He laughs. Can you imagine the laughter in the home when she had the baby? Now, with Legacy next week, I'm believing there's going to be some laughter in the house. I think God is just so much bigger than our imagination. You know, we say 300,000. If we exceed that, blow it away. I can just see God just going, of course, I'm El Shaddai. And so what you're holding in your hand as you're chewing down an ice block as we wrap up today is the evidence and the proof of God's miraculous provision. And we want to get rid of them all, so have four or five, okay? charge your kids with sugar before you leave. But, you know, my challenge is just go away this week and go, God, what is it you want us to sow? I love what Beck said about that multiplication. You know, and what she talked about with my own business this week, I've been laughing again. I'm like, God, this girl, I literally had a conversation with this woman and she introduced me to her boss over a Zoom. And I go to her name's Sophie. I don't know who she is. I talked to her in a school 4 years ago. And I go, Soph, do you remember what I talked about? She goes, no. She goes, I just remember it was the greatest thing I've ever been in school and everyone needs to see it in New South Wales, right? And her boss goes, I trust Soph, so we want to support you. I'm like, great, Soph. And boss goes, sorry, Soph threw you under a bus, didn't she? You don't remember anything, Soph? Not really, but it was fantastic. And I'm like, God, you've literally, that was 4 years ago and you come through now. You know, and God does just see, I know that God just sees our obedience and he often calls Beck and I to let go of the most valuable things. And we're like, oh, but then this happens and we have a good laugh. Look at God. How good's God? And that's what I'm believing for each and every person in our church and in the Redlands. I want stories like this going through the Redlands. Look what God did in my life. Look what God, you know, like that's what God does. And he's going to continuously do. Son, let me just pray right now. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the challenge. And I thank you that, God, you are El Shaddai. God Almighty, you're above everything. You can do anything. We just have to bring something. Something. Just bring something little. Whatever we can bring, God, you can multiply. And I pray that over our church as we go into this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.